This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day as we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. We wrap up the week with another look at what's going on in the Oregon State Legislature. We were in the House yesterday. Today, we're in the Senate. Barely, with State Senator David Brock Smith going back and forth. This is like a sporting game. You're not exactly sure what's going to happen over the course of the day, but as things worked out, we were able to get this on. David, thanks for being on.
Thank you, Kyle, and welcome from your State Senate District 1 office in the Capitol. We just finished, we're in recess on the Senate floor. We just finished a Senate concurrent resolution honoring our former colleague, Senator Aaron Woods, who passed away last year. We are recessed literally at 12:29 so that I can run up to the office and hop on.
Well, I'm glad that that all worked out. Talk about what took place today. What's been going on?
Well, we had the memorial for, of course, Senator Woods, SCR 206. But what is up next is Senate Bill 1599, which has been all over the news because it is the piece of legislation being pushed by the Democrats to move the transportation tax referral that over 250,000 Oregonians in record time signed a referendum so that that tax that was passed by the Democrats in the special session called by Governor Kotek and forced through back in September would go to the November ballot. And the Democrats here in the legislature have a piece of legislation, 1599, that wants to move that to the May ballot and not the November ballot and go against those Oregonians. There's over nearly 5,000 pieces of testimony, and I'm looking at it right now, from John Macaba from Scottsburg to Mary Shea from Redmond in opposition to Tina Worthington in Coos Bay and Marlene Benson from Roseburg, all opposed to this. Over 99% of the testimony submitted is opposed to going against the will of the people that signed, again, the referendum to have this decision on the November ballot. And it's going to be quite the debate on the floor, and hopefully it will not move forward.
And what's your sense right now, if you had to kind of read the room, as to what's going to happen?
Well, I think the governor is going to come in and break some arms of her Senate Democrats to say that they don't want this to move, that they need to vote for it, to move it forward, excuse me. I know that Democrat Senator Meek from Oregon City put out a release yesterday that he is adamantly opposed to supporting this bill because of the same reasons that my Republican colleagues are, because it's a slap in the face and they're rigging the system. We know that historically primary elections have less voter turnout by far. And November is what people signed when they went out in the cold and the rain and to collect those signatures and sign the referendum. And this was, of course, as you may remember, Kyle, and the people listening, that the governor held off on signing the bill to delay the opportunity to start gathering signatures. And so they've been trying to rig the system from the beginning since they passed the bill, with the governor, of course, again, delaying the signing of the bill. And now, suddenly, well, not suddenly, they introduced the bill and they want to move it forward. We think that there's constitutionality issues, of course, with moving this forward. I mean, in a normal referral, you have statements that go in the voter's pamphlet that's for and against, for as just one example, Kyle. There are the opportunity, because there's time to gather the necessary signatures to put that that statement in the voter's pamphlet, so you don't have to pay the large amount of money to do it. And this would essentially eliminate the opportunity for that to happen, as well as there's issues with the statement in general that would be coming out that should not be, it should be written not by the legislature, by, it should be written by the Secretary of State that was in the referral process, and now they're writing the ballot title, which is also fraught with rigging the system as well.
Well, with all of that going on, and already halfway through the 35 days, how do you get through everything else? Even if this got decided, whether you like it or not, one way or the other, if at least got decided today, there's a lot more things that need to be covered.
Well, indeed, but it can't be decided today, because even though they rigged the system on actually introducing the bill, they created a joint committee. And in doing so, a special joint committee for the bill, and in doing that, it eliminated the need for a piece of legislation to then, you know, if it's introduced in the Senate, it goes to a Senate committee, and then it, if it passes the Senate floor, then it goes to the House committee, and then it's debated again in public, and then it goes to the House floor. By forming the joint committee, they rig the system to where it just has the one committee, the one set of hearings, and then it comes to the Senate floor since it's a Senate bill, and then it will go over to the House if it actually moves today off the Senate floor. Then it goes over to the House. Now, the House is gone. They had floor session this morning. They are done for the week. So it wouldn't then be read on the House floor, first read until Monday. Second read Tuesday, third read Wednesday of next week. There's still other bills on the docket today after this bill. There's still 7 pieces of legislation, Senate bills, that are up for debate and vote on the Senate floor. I guarantee that this debate will be lasting for quite some time, as there's I can't, in reading the room to your original question, I know that at least one senator, Democrat senator, is opposed to it. I can only imagine more. And I hope that they can just tell the governor, you know what, I'm voting for my people and not for you, and vote against the bill.
And they come back in here in less than an hour, that's the next topic then on the schedule?
It is. Senate Bill 1599 is the next bill on the floor for debate and ultimately a vote, yes.
And, I mean, do you see this going on for a couple hours or more or less?
I know that I'll be speaking to the bill and against the piece, against the bill. Each legislator gets 5 minutes. They can get a... they can have another legislator offer their time. After every legislator has exhausted their 5 minutes, there is, it rarely happens, but there is opportunity to get in the queue for a second time. I can imagine that there's a number of my Republican colleagues, so 12 of us, are ready to speak against this bill. So that in itself, if we just use all our 5 minutes, is an hour.
All right, we're going to talk more about what's going on in Salem when we come back. Looks like a busy day. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson at 1. Douglas County Commissioner Tim Freeman will talk about recent announcements with the Department of the Interior and the ONC lands and related topics on the program on Monday. We're live from Salem today with State Senator David Rocksmith. Let's talk about some of the other things going on. I mean, this seems to really dominate things, but this point in the session, I presume you still, do we have committees meeting and things like that going on?
Indeed, we do have, first, Kyle, I just want to congratulate Commissioner Freeman and, of course, Commissioner Crest and Commissioner Boyce for their fantastic work and Commissioner's leadership as leading the team for the Association of ONC Counties and being elected once again as the president of that association. And getting the changes that you're going to hear next week about how they were able to get to the 75% of receipts for those 18 ONC counties that are so critical to fund services to citizens within those 18 counties. So I'm grateful for the leadership and all the work of Commissioner Freeman, Commissioner Kress, and Commissioner Boyce. It's critically important to fund those services, especially public safety, as we know. Committees are still meeting. We have deadlines that are of course, shortened in the short session. Bills that, chamber deadlines and, posting for work sessions and public hearings. This is kind of the deadline day, if you will, for legislation to be posted for, first, second, and third reading to get out of the one chamber, the House or the Senate, to the other. And so it's a critical deadline day today as well. 17 days left in session. We still have to talk about how we're going to fund transportation. You may remember me speaking about the Republicans, both the House and the Senate Republicans were saying, listen, we've identified just over $500 million within the ODOT budget that we can legislatively redirect those dollars. And the Governor Kotek and her Democrat supermajority refused to listen to us. Once the referral and referendum had collected the proper signatures, suddenly Governor Kotek pivoted and said, okay, we're going to redirect the funds. We wouldn't be in this mess if we would have done that, if the governor and her Democrat supermajority would have listened to the Republicans back in the in the long session and then the special session. We debated earlier this week. Unfortunately, it passed on a party line vote, except for one Senator Meek not voting for it. The disconnect from federal House H.R. 1, and that is the federal bill that is called the Big Beautiful Bill. It is kind of ironic that we're disconnecting from that bill to the tune of over $300 million, essentially is being taken away from Oregonians and Oregon taxpayers because they're disconnecting from provisions of the federal tax code that is within the bill that would allow individuals to write off the interest on their car loans. There's a business stock provision as well as where the depreciation, for them to be able to depreciate businesses to be able to depreciate their equipment. We were excited. We had lots of testimony in support of keeping those provisions, especially the depreciation, because businesses then would be able to invest in themselves better and then hopefully create and hire more with the opportunity to get that. But the Democrats decided that they wanted those dollars more. So that bill was headed over to the House to be debated. And I'm hopeful that we can get 31 individuals, House members, to vote that down as well. There's a number of bills still in play that aren't good bills. There's House Bill 4145, that you might have seen in the news this week, where it is the Measure 114 gun bill of the short session that would essentially implement Measure 114, even though it's in the courts. And we don't want to move that forward. In fact, Representative Tran voted against the bill in committee, but before the vote was ended, Chair Krupp took her outside, and they had a exchange for roughly 10 minutes, and then suddenly she came back in visibly shaken and then voted in favor. I know that it's been reported that there has been a Rule 27 complaint filed, and I saw a news article where Representative Tran did state that it created a hostile work environment. And so I am an alternate on the Legislative Conduct Committee. Representative Krupp is a member of it. He'll have to recuse himself from that discussion. And Rule 27 is the document, if you will, that guides our conduct in the legislature.
Wow. Definitely things getting very intense there, or remaining very intense. Any bright spots, any things you're happy about that are happening?
Well, I know there are. There is. I mean, it's just kind of tough right now when we're thinking about going on the floor here in 36 minutes and really just debating the voice and the rights of the Oregonians to have their voice heard in November. We do have what we call the Oregon Jobs Act, which is a fantastic piece of bipartisan piece of legislation moving forward that would provide, and I'm a co-chief sponsor of the bill, that would provide some fantastic incentives for advanced manufacturing that will benefit, Roseburg and Coos Bay and in our more rural parts of the state, as well as it's kind of an expansion of the CHIPS Act that we passed a few years ago. I look forward to that piece of legislation coming to the floor so we can move that forward. So there is some, there is some bright spots in this session. But right now we're concentrated on stopping basically the Governor Kotek and her Democrat supermajority from rigging the system and taking away the right of the people to vote on the transportation tax in November.
Do you feel like for the average person out there that maybe pays some attention, but maybe not hyper amounts of attention to the legislature, do you see everything going on in this short session maybe impacting voters come November?
We do. I mean, the jobs, excuse me, the Senate Bill 1507 that disconnects portions of H.R. 1 and the federal tax code is going to be problematic for a number of people. You're going to have your tax professionals are going to have to separate those deductions because they still will be federal, but not for the state. That'll be problematic. We're still debating on whether or not it's going to get past the House. This bill, 1599, is going to impact whether or not they're going to be able to vote in November or May. Again, it's still controversial, and there will be lawsuits filed if it does move forward. I don't necessarily trust the courts in that aspect because they've never sided with us on any of these things, but this could be a new one. We still have to deal with that horrible gun bill that is coming over from the House. And other pieces of legislation that looks to protect doctors and surgeons that want to perform surgery on for transgender youth. I mean, there's all kinds of aspects of this legislative session that really is beyond the scope of what the citizens wanted and how it was sold, quote unquote, to the Oregonians when they passed the short session many years ago that it was only supposed to be for budgetary fixes and so forth. So we're still fighting. I appreciate Representative Osborne and Representative Scarlatos and Representative Boyce. And
hold that thought there, because, David, we're out of time. We're going to catch up with you soon, but thanks for being on.
Thank you, Kyle.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This has been Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 1230 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.